In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. It's one of my favorite verses. It is a part of the reading for a hierarch. And so we're celebrating St. Gregory Palamas today. Maybe a name that doesn't have a lot of meaning to you, but he has shaped so much of our theology from, I think he was in the 1300s. This reading is about a shepherd, but it's also about the sheep, because the sheep are mentioned. And it's about freedom. And I really covet freedom. The Lord wants us to be free. He made us to be free. He made us in his image to obtain his likeness. And God is completely free. So it stands to reason, if we're made in God's image, we must be like him. And if he is free, then we must be free. Now, do you feel free right now? I'm not talking about free to go where you want, do the things you want, spend your money the way you want, get a job that you want. I don't mean that kind of freedom. In other places in the world, there's not that kind of freedom. I'm talking about the freedom in your heart. The freedom in your heart to go in and out and find pasture. Do you understand what that means? What that is talking about is the ability to always do good, not to have this great struggle within us with evil, or perhaps sometimes, let's admit it, there's not even a struggle. Perhaps sometimes we just give in to evil. But there's a weakness in us that gives in to evil and that can only resist evil, let's say, being angry at someone for so long. And with certain circumstances, we become angry even though we don't want to. Or we curse even though we don't want to. Or we're lazy even though we would like to be industrious. Or we have bad thoughts about somebody even though we know those are bad to have and they even make us feel terrible, but we still have them. There are many, many other examples where we're not free. But the Lord made us to be free. And this is describing that type of freedom, that ability to go in and out and find pasture, to have perfect freedom to always do what is right, what is good, what is holy, without this great battle that goes on in us that we so oftentimes lose. Now, St. Gregory is not unique in having this reading. It's basically for any hierarch. But one of the unique things about St. Gregory is he was one of the greatest proponents of hesychism. Now, that's a big word. I don't even know the exact definition of it. I know it has to do with quiet. And that's important. That's enough to know to be quiet. And I don't mean being quiet where there's no noise, you close the windows, maybe you're out in the woods and it's very quiet. I don't mean that kind of quiet. I mean the quiet that's in your soul, where there aren't these passions that rise up and go down, and where one day you're okay and the next day you're irritated, and the next day you're lazy, and the next day you have trouble with lust and all the rest, all these things that are happening, all this noise that happens in our soul. St. Gregory knew that the way to become quiet in the soul was to struggle in ascetical life and to pray with great fervor and with great effort. Now, sometimes people are afraid of this word asceticism because they think, well, I'm not ready to, you know, only eat once a week or only eat bread and water or whatever. The asceticism that is the most important that Gregory practiced, he was very hard on himself in those ways too. But the reason that he did those things is because of the asceticism that you and I must practice. We're in a different situation than him. We're not on some mountain or in some cave in a rock. We live in the world. But this asceticism is necessary to always struggle against sin, to not give in to your passions, to have self-control over your desires, to shape your desires to be as Christ is, the desires that he has. And that asceticism is a difficult asceticism indeed, but it leads to quiet in the mind, where there is not
all these thoughts that are bombarding us that we want to get rid of. This is the freedom that this gospel passage speaks about. And it talks about the shepherd. Of course, the shepherd in the original is about Jesus, right? And then there are other shepherds that have come along that are only doing his work with him helping them. But the chief shepherd, of course, is Christ. And for us to have the quiet that we should be seeking, we must know him. And it talks about the sheep know him. And they won't follow another shepherd because they know his voice. Now, how do you know the voice of someone? By being around them. By speaking with them. By learning from them. That's how we know the voice of Jesus. By being around him. By praying. By fasting, by forgiving our brother, by forgiving our enemy, by struggling against our passions. I've now been, as of today, a priest for 23 years. So I'm entering into my 24th year beginning now. And one thing that I've learned is people have a very vague understanding of what God, who God is really, even people that go to church a lot, and also what their purpose is and how they're going to obtain it. It just is sort of this vague idea. And so they live in a vague way. You can't live vaguely. You have to live in a purposeful way. St. Gregory, he was a hermit for a long time and was living in a very purposeful way. Now, that doesn't mean we have to go off and be hermits. This is not possible. I'm a parish priest. I can't be a hermit. Your mothers and fathers, you can't be hermits. That's not what we're called to do. But we're called to struggle, to follow the commandments so that we can have quiet in our heart, so that we can have this freedom that God promises. You can't obtain the freedom without struggle. Now, the freedom doesn't come just because of your struggle. It comes because of God's grace. But you must struggle in order to have this freedom. Associated with St. Gregory are two things, besides hesychism. Part of hesychism, within the umbrella of hesychism, as I said, was asceticism. And this asceticism is especially experienced or expressed by heartfelt prayer. And that especially in the form of the Jesus Prayer. And I've talked to you about this before. I don't know how many of you say the Jesus Prayer in a really concentrated way. Perhaps you say it a little bit when you're, you know, waiting for something or when you're driving or something like that. And those are all good things to do. But also, I recommend to you strongly that you would pray the Jesus Prayer in a concentrated way as best you can every day. Because this prayer tends to quiet the mind, and then God can come and commune with us. And over time and effort, it happens that we become free. Now, I don't think any one of us has experienced this freedom yet. So this freedom, to some extent, for all of us, is kind of like a concept, and a hazy idea. What's it like to be really free? In the gospel, the second gospel today, or actually the first one read, the one appointed for this Sunday, it was the healing of the paralytic. And the paralytic was brought to this house, and the house was full, so they couldn't get him in. So what they did is they went up on the roof and let him down from the roof. So it takes great effort. They couldn't get through because of the press. So it says in that archaic language in the King James. Couldn't get through because of the crowd. And there's a crowd that is keeping you from doing things. Mostly it's your own ambition and your own belief. Do you believe that you can have perfect freedom, even in this life? Do you believe it? It's possible. Now at the end of the healing, of the story about the healing today, the people were marveling since they'd seen the paralytic healed, and they said, we've never seen it before in this way. So we've never seen this kind of freedom in this way, except we have the testimony of the saints that shows this freedom is possible. So you haven't seen it personally, but if you read about the saints, you'll see that it is absolutely possible to have this kind of freedom. And you should yearn for this freedom above everything else. Above getting a degree and above getting a different job and above everything. Because we were born for this freedom. So we obtain this freedom with labor. There's the press in the way. There's our own passions. Sometimes there are our own circumstances. Sometimes our own families that are in the way. And you must press past that. And one of the best ways to do it is with the Jesus Prayer. Of course, the Jesus Prayer is not something just out of context. I mean, if a person prays the Jesus Prayer and acts miserably towards people, it doesn't do them any good at all. If they don't love people, if they judge people and they pray the Jesus Prayer, it doesn't matter. They might as well just be reading the phone book. But I would like to see, as your pastor, that everyone would struggle more with prayer. And I hope that when my bones are moldering in the grave, that people will say, Father Seraphim told us how important prayer was, and I learned to pray. And I even pray for him. So you must learn to pray. Pray the Jesus Prayer. Try it. Some of you haven't done that yet. Try it. If you don't know what to do, then ask me. I don't know a whole lot about it, but I know a little bit. I know the mechanics, at least. And then Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, they give body to it. They give the substance to everything. They give the substance to everything we do. None of us know anything about doing good. God does. God helps us to do good. So may God help you to pray with some fervor. Try it during the fast. I hope you're fasting. I hope you're eating less food especially. And I hope you're praying more. Now, if you're just eating less food and you're not praying more, then go out and have a hamburger. It doesn't matter. Eat less food and pray more. And struggle to listen to God. I'll end this with a story that might seem kind of out of left field, but I say this story all the time. I actually have two stories that are about this kind of quiet that we can have that are wonderful. The guys in prison, they love these stories, even though I tell them over and over again, because they're really wonderful stories. So this freedom that we don't yet know fully, and therefore we almost can't even picture it, I think is encapsulated by these two wonderful stories. So one of them is from Everyday Saints. And it was about a overzealous potential novice who said, I'll obey, I'll do anything you tell me to do, anything, absolutely. And the monk thought, he's acting a little weird, so I'm going to see if he's just dumb. And if he understands that obedience doesn't mean you do anything, you have to have intelligence about obedience too, right? I mean, if the monk says go shoot somebody, he shouldn't do that, right? So the monk didn't tell him to do that, but he said they were by a fountain, you know, and a monk was walking by it. He says, go run up to that monk and push him down without saying anything. So he did. Well, of course, that's ridiculous. And it was a test to see, and he flunked it. You got to use your head, and you've got to have some sort of sobriety about yourself. But the monk, when he fell to the ground, immediately stood up, made a prostration and said, forgive me. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? Somebody pushes you down and you don't get mad. You don't clench your fists. You don't yell at them. You don't glare at them. You just say, forgive me? He wasn't at fault at all. That's the kind of freedom that we can obtain, where we don't even have an angry thought in our head. What an idea. That's really captivating to me, that kind of freedom. And here's another story. So there was a monk and his disciple, and they were walking towards the city. They were going to sell some of their handiwork. And leaving the city was a prostitute. One monk was old, and the other was his disciple was young. The young disciple was covered his head, his eyes with his mantle, looked away. He didn't want to look at the woman so as not to be tempted, because after all, he lived in without women. He was celibate. He didn't want to be tempted by a woman, especially a woman who is showing a lot of her flesh. The older monk stopped, started talking to the woman, carried on a conversation for a little while, obviously with the younger monk quite uncomfortable. And then they went walking on. And the younger monk had this thought, this judgmental thought, my father, my spiritual father must have lusted after her. He looked right at her. We're not supposed to look at women. We're monks. And the older monk knew this because God had given him this revelation. So we ask him, my son, when we were walking just a little while ago, we encountered someone on the road. Who was that? And the younger monk said, well, father, that was a prostitute. Really? As for me, I didn't know if it was a man or a woman. Do you understand? Do you understand this wonderful story? Of course he had eyes. He knew it was a woman. He could even tell by the way she was dressed that she was a prostitute. But he had no lust. He didn't have to try to conquer himself. He didn't have to look away. He could speak to her and treat her as a child of God, as someone made in God's image, giving her kindness without having any lust. That freedom is what is promised to us. That's what this gospel is talking about, to be able to go in and out and find pasture. Now, in the meantime, for just about all of us, we have to avoid occasions of sin because we're weak. And that's good that we do. It's good that we avoid occasions of sin. It's good that we struggle against them. But picture what it would be to not struggle against sin, but just not to sin. That's what is promised. I guess I should tell you one more thing about Gregory, because I told you there were two main things associated with him. And this is very important. And this is unbelievable to many. In the West, this concept is thought to be heretical. They don't understand it at all. We mortals can see the uncreated light of God. It says God is light in the scripture. That light is not a terrestrial light, like this light that we see shadows all about. The light of God is without shadow. And it's not as if it's from turning on a light bulb and you can turn it off. The light of God is just the property of God. God is light. Now, we don't see his light because of our sins, even though his light is present right now. If we were made aware of his light because of our sins, we would be terrified. An example of that would be the Transfiguration, when our Lord made the light of God present, he didn't make it present, he no longer suppressed it. And the disciples, the three, they were terrified and they were frightened and they were confused. So that's why we don't see the light of God, not because we're not ready for it. St. Gregory was, and other holy fathers and holy mothers and even children have been ready for it and can see the uncreated light of God and be completely imbued with it and transformed by it. That's possible. Now, you might think that's crazy. It's not crazy. This is what we're called to be. In the next life, we will be completely enveloped in the light of God and be sharing with God, be with God, be united to him. So this is not impossible. In fact, this is our goal. And St. Gregory points the way, like so many other of the saints. The way is through struggling, through loving your brother, loving your enemy, by real heartfelt prayer, not just rattling off Ochanash or the creed or something, but try to learn to pray the Jesus Prayer with great attention. Just simply, just Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me is enough for now. Preferably, you get a chotki and you say, okay, I'll do 100 of them a day or 200 or 300. See what happens. If you combine this with struggle, spiritual struggle and physical struggle, then you will begin to be more free. And that freedom is a freedom that no one can take away from you. Man can take away freedom from men in this world, but they cannot take away the freedom that God gives. And this is the freedom that is spoken of, that Gregory points us to be able to go in and out and find pasture. God bless you and help you in all things. Amen.